turn to Philippians chapter 4 for the last time in our study. It feels like this study's gone by very quickly. And I'm excited to wrap it up this week. This has been a fun one. It's challenged me in my Christian walk. And I was trying to put together a recap. I had all of these notes for my Sunday morning, and you have to understand, when I make my notes for Sunday morning, they're really meant for me, and they're not really meant to hand out. Like, if you looked at my notes, you'd probably say, why do we even let him go up there and talk to us? So I was trying to put them into some kind of, I just thought, well, maybe it'd be helpful to just put an overview together by chapter. And I was spending quite a bit of time thinking about it and trying to organize it. And then I saw something on my computer. It's my Microsoft AI Copilot. And I clicked on it and I said, summarize my notes. And in about 10 seconds, it summarized my notes. So the little summary I handed you, I can't take credit for it. AI did it. Now, I will tell you, I proofread it, okay? There's nothing, it didn't throw anything crazy in there. But I actually thought it did a really good job of just taking the notes. And these notes are not meant to be a Bible study, but just a little bit of an overview. I would encourage you to go back and reread this letter and reread it as a letter. Read it start to finish. It's short. Might not have seemed short as we went through it since last fall, but it is. It's a short letter. Read it as a letter, and maybe these, just the summary by chapter, this little handout, maybe you'll find it encouraging and just help guide you as you reread through it. But we're not done yet. As we finish up, I would encourage you, turn into chapter 4, because we left off last week in just kind of a little bit of a unique spot. And what I mean by that is we could have blown through the last 5 minutes of last week, and we were left with verses 21 through 23. And that's basically Paul's final greeting. And we're going to get into that this week. But before we do, let's just do a quick recap of where we were last week. Last week we saw Paul was just so grateful to the Philippian church because they had sent this selfless care offering to him. Now, remember, Paul was in prison, right? And he was really, from a human perspective, Paul was going through quite a difficult time, wasn't he? And it was really interesting hearing Paul's attitude about his time that he was going through. But Paul was so grateful to the Philippian church for sending him this gift and sending it with Epaphroditus. But it was interesting to hear him. We saw in verse 10. Yes, verse 11. He said, not that I was ever in need. That's quite a statement coming from a guy in prison who didn't have much, right? Paul says, not that I was ever in need. Well, why was Paul not in need? Because he had learned to be content. Isn't that awesome? And we talked last week that it was something Paul had to learn. It didn't just automate. He didn't just wake up one day feeling content with everything. He learned it. And he had a secret. And the good news is he didn't keep the secret to himself. What was Paul's secret for being content in every circumstance?
Rejoice in the Lord.
Okay. Trust in the Lord. Yes. Be a little more specific. It's in the text. If you read into the next couple of verses, it's in verse 13.
he was relying on the Lord instead.
Mm-hmm. He can do all things.
God gives him strength in everything.
Yes. Christ gives us the strength to be content in every circumstance we have. How awesome is that? Can we control our circumstances?
No.
No. Who's in control of our circumstances?
God.
Every circumstance we're in, God's in control. And he's always with us. And this hope we have in Jesus transcends every life circumstance. Paul said he learned how to be content with a lot. Is it easy to be content with a lot? Is it?
No.
It sounds good, right? But are people with a lot, are they always content?
No.
Is a full stomach, Paul used the words full stomach and empty stomach, is a full stomach a guarantee of contentment?
No.
In fact, I think sometimes when we have a lot, we stop relying on Jesus, don't we? God sometimes uses the difficult circumstances in our life to remind us really where the true source of joy comes from. What about with a little? Can we be content? Can we be content with an empty stomach? Sometimes I wonder by the end of Pastor Mark's sermon on Sunday mornings, my stomach's growling. It's about that time, Pastor Mark, about 11:30.
That's why my sermons are so short.
Oh, you are. You're right. 11:30. It's about clockwork. We truly can be content in every circumstance. And I think something to note that I don't know if we really hit on last week, but this contentment is not just, it's not just a grin and bear it kind of a, it's not a fake smile. It's not just managing perception with other people, right? It's not making everybody think we're happy and we're just hiding our true feelings and being tough. Is that what Paul was doing? No. It's true joy. True contentment. Isn't that awesome? That's what Paul had learned. In fact, he was so content. He was able to say, I didn't really have a need, but I'm so thankful you sent me this gift. He loved them, and he appreciated that they loved him back. But what was Paul's greatest source of joy in getting this gift? Does anybody?
That the church would be blessed.
Yes, yeah. He was so excited for them because he knew their selfless gift to Paul. Were these Philippians just rich and it was easy for them to send a big gift?
No.
No. Their gift was selfless. And Paul knew that God was going to bless them. And Paul was so excited for them to receive and that blessing they were going to receive. What kind of blessing was it?
Spiritual blessing.
Eternal rewards, right? They were laying up treasures in heaven. Is that how Christian blessings work? Well, if I give, then maybe there are people who teach things like that, right? Well, if I give $10, God will give me 20. Is that how it works? No.
Sometimes it does, but not always.
True. God blesses us in ways beyond that we could ever expect. Right? He supplies all of our needs, doesn't he? And we saw that last week too. Paul assured the Philippians, my God will supply all your needs. It's verse 19. He says, the same God who takes care of me. He wasn't just extra privileged because he was the Apostle Paul. The same God who took care of the Apostle Paul is the same God who takes care of us, right? Paul says he'll supply all your needs. What does God use to supply our needs? It's in verse 19. Mm-hmm. God's glorious riches are what he uses to supply our needs. Now that's real wealth, isn't it? Is there any wealth in this earth that doesn't fade away? No. God's wealth doesn't fade away, does it? God's riches and glory, that's an unending supply. They last for eternity. Those riches are found in Jesus Christ. And Paul wants us to know that they've been given to us. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is what he tells the Ephesian church. God, we can trust God to provide for our needs, can't we? And what was Paul's response? Yes?
There's a parallel verse in 2 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and encouraging them to give. Corinth was a rich city. Philippi and Macedonia was a comparatively poor city. He says, as they participate in this offering, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, enriched so that you can give, not keep to yourself.
That is why when God gives us good things, God's expectation is that we use those resources to further his kingdom and to bless others. Yeah. God's given to us, and now we can give to others. Paul's response as his conclusion to this thought is, he says in verse 20, now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. And I think when Paul was writing that, there was probably a lot of emotion or expression in that. We serve a big God, don't we? And Paul recognized that. And he wanted the Philippian church and us to recognize that. All of this is for God's glory. We serve a big God. And then Paul, we're as we get into our last couple of verses today. Verse 21. The heading here is Paul's final greetings. And in full transparency, before we started our study in Ephesians, end of last summer, was it, Pastor Mark, when you started Ephesians?
Somebody.
Yeah. I learned something new when Pastor Mark started Ephesians, and it was like mind-blowing. I don't think I had ever paid much attention to the first two or final two verses of any of Paul's letters. It was just like, hey, how you doing? Greetings. But there's a lot in Paul's greetings and his salutations, aren't there? We learned that. And we saw that, the same thing in the book of Philippians. And we see that in Paul's conclusion. And it's certainly worth talking about. Verse 21, give my greetings to each of God's holy people. Now, who are God's holy people?
People set apart for God's ownership and use.
People set apart for God's ownership and use. And who does that include?
Us.
Yeah. He actually spells it out in his next sentence. All who belong to Christ Jesus. That's us. We are God's holy people. It's the same way he started his letter. Somebody go back, if you read the first two verses of Philippians chapter 1.
To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, to all the saints, what is he telling them? Grace and peace. It's the same way he started the book of Ephesians. Who are the saints? What's another word for saints?
Believers.
Okay, believers, set apart ones, holy people, right? all God's holy people. If you're in Jesus Christ, that's you. Now, that should make us feel pretty good, shouldn't it? You don't have to answer this out loud, but do you always feel holy?
No.
Do you always act holy? No. Glory, don't answer that about me. Are we holy? Positionally, in the sight of God the Father. And by the way, that's the opinion that matters. In God's eyes, we're holy. That's pretty awesome. That's an unchanging, eternal position if you're in Jesus Christ. Why are we holy in God's eyes?
Because Jesus died for us, and he looks at us through the blood of Jesus.
He looks at us through the blood of Jesus. When God sees you and me, he sees what Christ did. The perfect blood of Jesus. That makes us holy. Now, should we act holy?
Yes.
You bet. Paul talks all about that in this letter, doesn't he? Does the Holy Spirit enable us to act holy? Yes, he does. We have Christ in us. We're holy. Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. And then he says, the brothers who are with me send you their greetings. Paul had other believers with him. So Paul's in Rome, in prison, and he's surrounded by other believers. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Catch what he says next. And all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. I think Paul wanted the Philippian church to know that the church is, this is one body in Christ Jesus. They weren't alone, were they? There were believers with Paul, even in prison. And what a cool thing for the Philippian church to realize that there were actually believers in Caesar's household. Now, did Caesar love Jesus? No, in fact, what was Caesar going to do to Paul? Some point, we know the story. Paul kind of had an inkling. What did Caesar end up doing to Paul eventually?
Execution.
Yes, he executed Paul. Paul knew that was going to happen. And what was Paul's response to that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is what?
Gain.
I think Paul wanted the Philippian church to understand that there were other brothers and sisters in Christ who cared about them. Those people were sending their greetings, and especially those in Caesar's household. Paul's imprisonment wasn't in vain, was it? I think that was part of the message of Paul telling him, hey, the believers in Caesar's household are greeting you. Why were there believers in Caesar's household?
Because Paul was there.
Because Paul was there. And he was in chains, and these people were a captive audience. Think about all the people that Paul got to interact with. Roman guards, who knows, servants, all kinds of people. And Paul made sure every one of them heard the gospel, didn't he? That's why Paul was so full of joy even throughout his imprisonment. He knew that God was using that imprisonment to advance the gospel. Way back in earlier in Paul's ministry, where did Paul, he was really excited to get to Rome to preach the gospel, wasn't he? Do you think when Paul first envisioned that, he envisioned that he would be preaching it from prison? I don't know if that's what Paul was wishing for. I think, when Paul dreamed of sharing the gospel in Rome, I can picture him, he's probably thinking of, you know, having this audience in front of Caesar and all these really important people in Rome and just letting them have it with the gospel. I'm sure we all like to use our imaginations. I bet Paul envisioned Caesar being convicted. God had a different plan, didn't he? God knew what he was doing. There was a church in Rome. There were believers even in Caesar's household. And these people were part of the same family as the Philippian church. That's pretty cool. So, these greetings, there's a lot to them, isn't there? Give my greetings to each of God's holy people. All who belong to Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, send you their greetings, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's quite a statement too, isn't it? Think about that. Now, who is he writing that to? When Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Philippians.
The Philippians. And who else?
All the saved.
Us too. This is a message to the church. What is grace? Unmerited favor and love from God. That's what grace is. So, grace, this unmerited love and favor from God, it provides salvation, daily spiritual strength from the Lord Jesus. Well, that's the source of the grace, isn't it? To what? The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Well, the spirit, that's the deepest, innermost part of a person, isn't it? May the grace, may the unmerited favor and love from God, grace of the Lord Jesus, be with your spirit. That was Paul's wish for the Philippian church, and that was his prayer for us. That's available to us, isn't it? God's grace, encouraging our spirit every single day. Christ's empowering presence is always available to us, regardless of our circumstances. Isn't that awesome? I trust this study has been encouraging to you. And I had sort of loosely had it in my mind that if we had time, I was going to start at verse 1 and actually play it. I like, if you ever listen, I have the Bible app, and I like to listen to the Bible a lot. I listen to it as I drive, and I like to listen to it in the NLT. There's a narrator that it kind of puts a little music, like just in the background. It does a really good job. And I would encourage you, however you do it, read it, listen to it, maybe do both. But go back, just as a conclusion to our study, go back to chapter 1, verse 1. And just try to take a few minutes and read it all together as one letter. And maybe just reflect on, I know we covered a lot of ground in the last several months, but hopefully these little handout notes will be a little guide for you as you go back and reread it and listen to it. But trust that it was encouraging to you. Any thoughts or comments on our study in Philippians with our last couple minutes of class?
I was just thinking about the parallel between David and Paul, or probably all of God's people, you know, because David in his Psalms would give personal testimony
And then say, but anyone that calls, you know, on the Lord and turns to him, you know, and then he says, you do it too. And you know, you'll see Paul sharing his personal testimony, but then saying, God's going to bless you too.
Yeah, it was a, it really was a letter of encouragement to the Philippian church and to us. MTV.
So Paul wrote letters, David wrote songs. Same way.
Anybody else? Yes.
In the end of Ephesians, when Paul was in prison there too, he has the whole armor of God versus the helmet, the breastplate, and so on. But in verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So it concludes that, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. The words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul's asking for prayers, like with all his experience, he still wants to have the right way to proclaim the gospel. And he says in verse 20, for which I'm ambassador, I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak.
Even the Apostle Paul wanted prayer to be a better witness. Something we all need, isn't it? Thanks, Tom. Anybody else?
There's so many lessons in there, but I think the I always go to this book when I don't know where to go. because just reading through it, you know, you have your lessons for being anxious over things, you have your lessons for worrying and being stressed and all of that. It's all right there. Just give it to God and let him take it, and he's got it, and he's going to do a better job than you are.
There's so much theology in this book, but also so much practical Christian encouragement. Yeah. Thanks, Linda. Anybody else? So just give you a little bit of a glimpse on where we go next. We're going to, through the summer, we're going to have a few different topical lessons. We're going to have a few different, my dad's going to be sharing next week, and he's going to be sharing a week in July. And he and I are going to kind of be brainstorming through a few different lessons that will hopefully be just challenging to us. And then we'll pick up, I don't have... Our next study ready to reveal to you yet, because I'm still working on it, but we'll have something probably kicking off after Labor Day. We'll pick up another book of the Bible and start a journey through that. So once we have details ready, we'll let you know. In the meantime, let's pray. Appreciate you guys. Father God, we thank you for all the blessings you give us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we're your holy people because of what Jesus did for us. Lord, you have set us apart. You look on us with favor. You give us your grace and your peace. Father, help us to put into practice these lessons that we've learned through our study in Philippians. Help us to be full of joy in our Christian walk. Help us to be a bold witness for you. Help us to be patient in suffering. Help us to trust you more. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here in our church, in Fowlerville, and all over the world. Lord, we pray for the advancement of the gospel, and Lord, we pray that you would come back. We look forward to the day, Jesus, when you come again. Amen.